is God.
Dad, Mom says I came from an ape.
What? Is God real?
When did creation begin?
Think about everything.
And if you still don't have the answer?
Let's talk about it.
Active FM, let's talk. Luando here with my man, Mansa Musa. I keep forgetting. Musa.
It's Musa, yeah.
What's wrong with
the
you,
blues Luando? Man, Musa.
Not a Mansa Musa.
Yeah.
You know?
The blues man.
Mansa Musa only existed in the 13th century.
Is it?
Yeah, but we're going to be speaking about something that's connected to that.
Okay.
So it's going to be interesting. This is our show, Let's Talk. We talk about things that matter.
Yeah.
You know, we encourage people, we more biblical, factual. Hope that's the right term.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to be helping you to overcome your anxiety. You know what I'm saying? Not that we're perfect,
yeah,
but we have some, you know, testimonies in our lives. And yeah, we believe that we're going to inspire you with what we have. And we have this great topic because we thought about it.
Yeah.
You know, we are intentional.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called Leadership's DNA. I'm so excited. I didn't even ask Musa to introduce himself.
Yeah, like I feel so
sorry,
left
man.
Out.
Sorry.
I'm so left out. Anyway, I am the blues man, Musa Wenkosi, Emmanuel Pinky Ngwenya from the south.
Did you say Pinky?
Oh, it came out.
It came out. And now when they say true colors are coming out, now we're experiencing a true color. AKA Pink in the building.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't plan that to come out.
So hard, you know, nothing like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we got Pinky in the building. Active FM, let's talk. Yeah, Pinky in the building.
I really didn't want that to come out.
How did
I wanted
get,
no one to know about that.
Did you get that name from your ex-girlfriend or your granny?
No, I got it from my mom, actually. So what happened was, they were expecting a girl when I was young. And then they got all granny clothes and all of those stuff. Stuff and that. So my nickname at home was always Pinky.
I have been...
My grand calls me that sometimes. Yeah.
Maybe when you're not listening, like, hey, Pinky. Ah, man, this is interesting.
That should have not come out.
I told you.
Yo.
We inspiring people, you know, with such names as Pinky, Bluesman, Pink at the same time. What's up, Kana?
So, how are you? How's your week been? Yo, that came out so wrong. No.
You and Pink at the same time. Yeah.
Eish.
Okay. So.
But the 12th century, yes.
12th century, let's continue. Yeah, that. This moment is so good. Yeah, I've laughed. I never thought that I would laugh so much today. The word pink made my day. So let's carry on. Leadership's DNA is just simple. Wisdom.
Okay.
So remember we started speaking about leadership and being practical last week.
Yeah.
The standard of God, where God created everything and he saw it was good.
Yeah.
And when God saw that it was not good for man,
mm-hmm,
what did God do? Created a woman.
Created a woman from last
week. And because of that, man looked good. God approved.
Yeah.
There's nothing that God approves if it's not good.
Yeah.
As the Bible says, he works everything for our own good.
Good,
he makes
yeah.
everything work for our own good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to be looking at. And this actually comes from Proverbs. We're going to go into details when we're about to close the show.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to be looking at the 12th century.
Okay.
And it's just one of the things I was looking at, 1850, for the first time, the population got to 1 billion.
Yeah, 1 billion.
And then 1950, it got to 2 billion.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm sure it sounded like a lot to them.
Yeah, it was like a century in between.
Yeah.
But guess what?
What?
From 1950 to 2017.
Yeah.
1950 to 2017.
Yeah.
We got to 7 billion.
Yeah.
From 2 billion to 7 billion. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Sure. Hmm? It is.
And also someone commenting like, you know what, this is going to get so overwhelming. We got to take steps now. What do you mean? Are we going to commit more abortions? It was a question that I had.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It was a question that I had.
Mm.
These guys, they party a lot, you know? They're popping out babies there in party. They're making babies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Nothing is under control in our days. Yeah. So it makes sense somehow. And, I mean, imagine if those kids were never killed in their mother's womb.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
It would be interesting. But also, if you think about this, it makes you question. Looking at India,
okay.
I mean, India, compare their land, the size of their land,
yeah,
to even China, India has the smallest size of land. But
yeah,
you know that India alone has more population than the population of the whole African continent.
But it's small.
But it's small.
Jesus.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So how do people actually live, do you understand what I'm saying, in such environment? It's amazing how in just a small environment, but you can have so much people living. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, true.
So which means probably Africa alone can have like handle around maybe 50 billion people.
50 billion.
You know, it's possible.
But it is a big, you know, so yeah, it is possible. I also agree, yeah.
So I was just I was thinking about that. You know, it's not something that we should be stressing about. You know, we need to give people chance to live. Imagine if it was you, your mother's womb, your mother rejected from the womb.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it was fascinating to look at that. So we're looking at the so this is the 12th century. So it says in Western Africa, a few miles from Niger River. So you have Niger, which is just above Nigeria, and then you have Ghana. You see,
yeah.
So that's where we are on the map. If you're looking at the map of Africa, it says where the mosquitoes are not so bad as they are close to the river. So thinking about that, mosquitoes have been there.
Yeah,
they're making it when it comes to history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They even made it there.
Yeah.
In fact, what's that mosquito's name? John Luke.
I thought you were going to say John Wick. I'm like, what are you saying? Yeah, you know, there are people who exist that we don't even know about them. But we know about the mosquitoes that existed at that time. Interesting.
Yeah.
History is interesting. You know? Maybe somehow we're going to come across a study that was made on those mosquitoes. And it says, a wall has been dug and a camp created for people trading salt for gold and for slaves brought northward on the river. The camp is to become Timbuktu. Maybe one day we're going to speak about the fact that African people, they actually enslaved their own people and they sold their own people as slaves.
Ah.
Because that doesn't seem to be popular when it comes to history. You know what I'm saying? It's always like, okay, European people and stuff like that. You know, I'm not saying, obviously, they were the buyers, you know, but who are selling these people?
Yeah.
You see? So we're going to be, I think we might touch on that. We just don't know if this stuff will come out based on the history that we're doing on history.
Yeah.
So now I was fascinated with the word Timbuktu.
Okay.
Timbuktu. Yeah. Maybe it means pinky, you know, in English. I didn't check. Yeah. So they say Timbuktu, home of the prestigious Koranic Sankore University and other minarets. Timbuktu was an intellectual and spiritual capital and the center for propagation of Islam throughout Africa.
Yeah.
So Timbuktu is actually a western city which is in Mali. I told you.
Mali.
Mali. Okay. So now this guy, that his name is called Mansa Musa, and they say this was the first man to appear, in fact, to be famous in Europe.
Yeah.
In Asia, he was the first man from Africa to be famous, you know, because of his wealth and he traveled the world, stuff like that. So we're going to be looking at that because he's from Mali. That's where his kingdom was. But we just, you know, telling you about Timbuktu. So that's what took place, you know, in the beginning of the 12th century.
Yeah.
And it also speaks about the fact that by the beginning of this new century, towns are becoming an important part of life in Europe, although people there are less than 10% and 90% and rural. The towns are centers of commerce, which enlightened feudal lords and kings find in their interests. So that's what we're learning. So at this time in Europe, there were cities that starting to emerge, you know, and for and the benefits of that, it was just commerce. You see what I'm saying? So you can see, I think we were also going to be looking at Renaissance.
Okay.
How now the whole thing about art, you know, painting took place, you know what I'm saying, from Europe. So I think now we're coming close to those, you know, times.
Yeah. Yeah.
So looking at Europe, in the beginning again, royalty is little more than family of warlords. Robert Carthus, Duke of Normandy, has turned from the First Crusade and he invades England in an attempt to take the throne from his brother, Henry I.
Okay.
So that's one of the things that we're looking at. Let's look at what was happening at the church at that time. Right? So it says, the Roman Catholic Church is more bureaucratical, organized than it was in previous centuries. Centuries before, it had no problem with common people believing in pagan herbal, magic, holy trees and springs, fairies and like.
Yeah.
But now the church feels more threatened in its role as a beta of truth. Literacy has been rising. Translations of ancient Greeks are circulating. Ideas are spreading with the increase in the movement of trade and people within Europe. The church is now concerned about heresy. The Concordat of Worms condemns the popular lecturer and writer Peter Eberland. And later this year, the uncle of Eberland's wife, Hilosi, leads a group of men who attack and castrate Eberland. So now we actually know about this, where people, even people that were actually Christians who believe in God, but the church at this time actually executed those people, exile those people, you know, and yeah, so that's, it was like the beginning of that behavior at that time. And then carrying on, it says, now this, there are long names here. So now looking at Portugal is forming. That's what I say. Portugal is forming. Mm-hmm. Count Afonso Henriques, hope I'm pronouncing that word right, 29, has been allied with discontent nobles in northeast corner of Iberian Peninsula. He has been fighting the kings of Leon and Castile, and he has defeated a small army belonging to his mother. Imagine.
To his mom.
He has defeated a small army belonging to his mother. This woman was hardcore. She had an army. Interesting, you know, and then has driven her to Leon. Imagine, he did that to his mom. He now defeats the Moors in battle and declares his lands independent of Moorish rule. So yeah, that's new. I didn't know about that. Okay, so going on to a Muslim warlord in northern Mesopotamia, Imad al-Din Zangi. Like I'm speaking Chinese. He's been trying to extend his power against other Muslims, presenting himself as the champion of Islam. He captures the weakest of the Latinized Crusader states.
Yeah.
Edessa in northern Mesopotamia and southern Asia Minor, territory occupied by Christians from the First Crusade. So remember we learned about the crusades that that came from Europe when Jerusalem was captured and all that. So they came to rescue. So now you actually see that some of these people, they were around that region.
Okay.
And this guy overcame some of these small crusades. Yeah. So anything on your side?
So far... sounding interesting. So far, just carry on. Carry on.
Okay. Ask us something about China, because I don't feel like China should be left behind.
Oh yes, wait. I do have a question. In the 12th century, is that the Middle Ages or it's approaching the Middle Ages?
I think it's actually the beginning.
It's the beginning of the Middle Ages, because I know in the Middle Ages there was like a pandemic. And the pandemic in the Middle Ages, I think it was the black death, something like that.
Yeah.
And then there was also the malaria started, like, there was a lot of, like, malaria cases, and there was also diseases. So,
yeah.
What they're going through now, similar to what we're going through.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can carry on.
Yeah, so we, in fact, 1400 to 1500.
Yeah.
So those are the Middle Ages. That's why I'm saying we're approaching there. So like from 13 going up to 15. And yeah, many things will be also many things happened at that time. But I just feel that there's so much that, you know, was taking place at that time. And we're actually not covering most of the things that took place at that time. Okay. You know. But it's just so amazing what history can, you know, teach us.
Yeah.
It's so amazing. Okay, let me read this. It says, following their victory against the Khitan, the Jaishin turned on China's emperor Huizong. They overrun his capital, Kaifeng, and take him and around 3,000 others away.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I came across with, I was scrolling down, was that at this time China was actually experiencing more prosperity in terms of their economy, politics, and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And sort of like having peace. But what happened was that their military at that time was weak. You see, due to this Confucianism theory or idea.
Okay.
So that's just one of the things that we learn about China. And looking at Japan, so in the 5-year Genpei War ends, the Taira clan had been oppressive and corrupt in its rule of Japan. Opposition had formed against them, led by a member of Minamoto clan. Minamoto Yoritomo. Ah, man, look at it. Minamoto Yoritomo, who had been held at the fishing village of Kamakura. This sounds African, though.
It does.
Like
that
Kamakura. Yeah, and then it says, from the Kimbei War, Minamoto Yoritomo emerges supreme. He has members of Taira clan. Remember, we spoke about the Taira clan.
Yeah.
Hunted down and killed, and he has rivals from his own family eliminated. So that's the country called Japan today. And then commerce has been growing, and the century ends with the second city of Venice as Europeans' commercial capital. Its population is around 80,000, equal to Paris, Milan, and Florence, Europe's leading cities in population. And Muslim warriors from Afghanistan are pushing into India, not just to raid, but to stay. They reached Delhi overwhelming fierce Hindu opposition.
Yeah.
So there was the Hindu opposition and they were angry, fighting. Saladin retakes Palestine, including Jerusalem for Islam. There's no pillaging or slaughter of non-combatants as there had been when the Crusaders took Jerusalem in 1099.
Oh, okay. We learned about the Crusaders too.
Remember, we actually touched about that now. So the Muslim guy took over Palestine, including Jerusalem. There are now about 1,000 Jewish families in all of Palestine before Christian Crusaders and their killings. And their killings, the Jew number about 300,000. Sure, it's bad, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah.
You know, it's because we normally think of Hitler as just one person that killed the Jews.
Yeah.
But now they say before the Christian Crusaders and their killings, the Jews numbered about 300,000. Imagine.
Sure.
It says Saladin is to acquire a reputation in Europe as a chivalrous knight. Okay.
Chivalrous knight.
If you're good in English, you know what I was trying to say. It says Jews are massacred at the coronation of England's Richard the First. So yeah, it's there are things that took place that time which let's look at something that's interesting. Good summer. Tea, Musa Sayori thing. Tea from China is introduced to the Japanese.
Mm.
That was 1191.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then Crusaders arrived at and besieged the port city of Acre on the coast of Lebanon. Richard I arrives in June. Saladin fails to break the siege. You see, I told you, going to the Middle Ages now, like as you say. We learn also more about these crusades and all that, you know? It raises questions though, if now these, you know, crusades, they came to rescue, you know, Jerusalem from the Muslim people, mm-hmm. but at the same time they kill around 300,000 Jews. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we start having questions at that time. So talking about the these guys, and then it says Richard I arrives in June. Saladin fails to break the siege, and in July the city falls to the Crusaders. So it's like they taking over the city for the second time. In August, Richard I, the lion-hearted, slaughters 4,000 Muslim prisoners. Richard then takes the coastal town of Jaffa. Saladin holds off Richard's advance against Jerusalem. Richard and Saladin sign a treaty that leaves Jerusalem under Muslim control and allows Christians, pilgrims to visit. Some coastal towns and Cyprus are left in Christian hands. Richard leaves for England. The Third Crusade is over.
Yeah.
So this was the Third Crusade. Interesting. The Third Crusade is over, and many will see it as a failure because Jerusalem remained in the hands of Muslims rather than Christians.
Mm.
Yeah. So there's so much to learn about that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I actually saw, I think in Iceland. Iceland was at this time actually banished slavery.
Is it?
Mm. My research is this long, this man. Yeah, Iceland at this time, in the 12th century, they banished slavery. In Japan, slavery had risen within taking of captives in civil wars, but by now, slavery has virtually disappeared. So you actually see that there were people that were actually fighting slavery from that time. Another thing, because we know Oxford, right? It says the first classes begin at Oxford universities. Do you want to say anything? I've been talking.
One thing I'm noticing about this is that it's all in all history, there's always something about Jerusalem. And God did say he's going to look after Jerusalem, Israel, basically. He's going to look after them. And not even once do they, well, they do get conquered, but they always come back. You know what I'm saying? And with the pandemics they're facing and all of those stuff, we're making it seem like it's a big deal when things like that has always been there. And I did say before on the show that history always repeats itself, always and always, 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 always. It may look different, but it always repeats itself. I mean, look at it now. There's a lot of like wars and like people against each other. That looks like the world today. it looks exactly like the world today. And you know, we shouldn't be discouraged thinking we, because I know there's a lot of people who think, yo, why is bad stuff always happening to me? Why, yo, I lost my job, but this happened to me. Now there's even a pandemic on top of that. Meanwhile, there's people in these ages there that didn't have food. They were struggling to get food. You know, it's the same thing all the time. And one thing you notice is the people who overcome that is the people that are strong in God. Because I mean, it always has been said to me that you need to keep your focus onto God. Don't worry. Just focus on God. And I always used to ask myself the question, how do I like not worry if tomorrow is rent? Today I don't have money. You're telling me to focus on God. And you know what I'm saying? And it was always the worry that was in my head. But now looking at it in history, that, because I've also like the things I've been reading, always what happens is the people that are for God, they never struggle. You know, it may look like to us they're struggling, but in their hearts there is peace. So it comes with the question now, what is true peace? Is true peace you like chilling and no problems? Everything is just fine. You have all the money you need. Everything. Is that true peace?
Yeah.
If you think about it, I say no. Because you can have all the money in the world. You can have the biggest house. You can be in peace. You cannot be struggling to get what you want. But in your heart, are you really at peace?
Yeah.
Because now you have all of those things. But what happens if you die today? You know what I'm saying? So that was always my issue. And now going through history, it makes me actually click now that, you know, there's always been problems.
Yeah.
And it's always been big problems. I mean, look at the Black Plague, for example. That was a huge thing.
Yeah.
The Middle Ages, the diseases that were there, that was like a huge thing. But the people that overcame was the Christians. And if you look at it, those people that believed in Jesus, they didn't have much, but they were the happiest people ever. Which also brought me to another question: what is true happiness? You know what I'm saying? so it's so amazing how things like this answer questions in your heart that like you didn't even know that this is the answer, but all of a sudden, bam, your answer comes from something that you didn't expect. And it also comes on to, are you comfortable? Because if you're comfortable, your questions don't get answered.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're studying for an exam, it's uncomfortable to always sit down, take out a book and study. But at the end of the day, you get what you want.
Yeah.
If you choose to be comfortable, you'll stay comfortable and stay, you know, where you're at.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, these things answer questions, and it shows that God answers questions that you didn't even know you had. You know what I'm saying? I used to think, how do you answer questions I don't even know?
Yeah.
But now it's actually answering questions that I didn't know I questioned that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, so this guy has been talking, and we're about to go to the show. Yeah, I almost said pinky. Yeah, so remember these Muslim guys, they went to India.
Yeah.
Right? And we know that they were not just going there to just destroy, but they went there to stay. And this gives us more a clarity of what took place after. It said Muslim led by Ektiva Kihili raised the Ote Tampura Monastery.
Yeah.
I think it's an Indian word, I'm telling you. At Nalanda, a Buddhist center of learning and a famous university in the state of Bihar. Monastery monks are killed. Muslims have contempt for Buddhism and have been destroying Buddhist temples for decades. Buddhism is being driven out of India. Survivors of the Odentapura monastery scatter within a few holy texts, most of them to Nepal and Tibet. So yeah, that was the history. Nice to read about the history of what took place. There's actually a lot. You know, we told you 13th century, we want to be learning about the Mongolians, and Mansa Musa II is coming.
Yeah.
You know, in the building, we already have Musa, you know. So now let's look at this verse, and we actually closing. You know, it says the beginning of wisdom is to fear God. The beginning of wisdom is to fear God. That comes from Proverbs 9 verse 10. So it seems like leadership, you know, there are things that actually sound good, you know what I'm saying, and it makes sense, because you find some of us, we saw after these words, nice words, high words, you know, bombastic words, stuff like that, you know what I'm saying. So leadership is just one of the things, you know, that helps and all that, but it's like leadership in itself, it's lost. It has no firm destiny, you know what I'm saying, without wisdom. Do you understand what I'm saying? And what we're getting here is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One, who is understanding. Imagine, and knowledge of the Holy One, who is understanding. You know, so if we're doing things without wisdom, we can sound so great. You know what I'm saying? We can sound so, you know, eloquent with our words and stuff like that, you know, and we can be famous for what we do. We motivate people, we inspire people. Do you understand what I'm saying? But somehow it does look like, you know, leadership without wisdom, it's a loss. It's lost. And obviously, if your leadership is without wisdom, that means then you're leading people, you're actually getting people lost.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that means you yourself, you lost, but you don't even know why. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now wisdom comes in and gives what? And gives the leadership a drive. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Because that leadership is what is the goal. Do you understand what I'm saying? That leadership will get people to somewhere. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's amazing, because now we understand that wisdom comes from the understanding of God, and the understanding of God is not just squeezed in one thing. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not just focusing on one thing, but the understanding of God actually does what? It covers everything that exists. Things that we don't even know. Do you understand? Like, imagine God is speaking to Job, and God is like, do you know the laws of the universe? And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? Do you know the laws of the universe? You know, because you find that, yes, how you're living your life, and it may seem cool, and you're feeling good about your life, but you find that somehow, one day, you will hit something that will turn you down. Why? Because your life, it's clashing with the laws of the universe. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So now when God gives us wisdom, when we start, you know, to hear the word of God and move forward based on, it says, the understanding of the Holy One. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And think about this scripture. I think it's Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. It says, in him we have redemption. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. You know what it says after? Mm-mm. It says that lavished upon us with all wisdom and understanding. For me, that's good. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That means when God does something, he does it with all his knowledge. He does everything being aware of everything that exists. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So that now, when you come into existence, you're not clashing, do you understand what I'm saying, with the laws of, you know, the other creation, but instead of you clashing, guess what you do? You join in harmony. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So which means now everything that's created works for you, and you work for it. And obviously, more important is that you work for God. In fact, I had a question, the last thing, looking from a science perspective. And I was thinking about the different forces. They say four fundamental forces. And you find that now, there's what we call high nuclear force.
Yeah.
And there, that's where we speak about quarks and all this. So what they were saying is that right there, what now you have, right there, what you have now is that you have the interaction of creation. Do you understand? Being in harmony, but in those smallest particles. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was thinking about the fact that, you know, it seems like, why do we, when we do this whole, you know, networking, 5Gs and all that with their waves, they actually interrupt the atmosphere, the environment. Do you understand what I'm saying? That, you know, we can end up being sick because of that. We end up having cancer, stuff like that. And one thing that I was thinking about the fact is that, is it possible that the things that we manufacture, we don't manufacture them at a small scale that they're able to do what to be suitable with the whole harmony of what? Of creation. Instead of clashing, but they just join in smoothly. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's how now God works with us. You know what I'm saying? That now, remember we said from the beginning, this is good. That when God changes our lives, guess what? We're not like these waves. We're not like this new technology that can cause people to have a cancer, whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? Sicknesses, diseases, and all that. But instead of corrupting the society, guess what happens? We work with creation. We love animals. We love people. We love the environment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Either the environment in the air or the land environment. Do you understand? So on and on. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Your water environment. We just love these things. And I remember when God saved me, I never used to love animals. I didn't care about people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was always clashing against creation. But guess what has happened now is that I'm part of creation. Creation flows into me, I flow into creation with the right impact influence. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think it's so amazing to have God, and that wisdom allows us to do what? To walk in a path where now everything works for our own good, and that we don't mislead people. Because at the end of the day, the aim is that everything prospers us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we prosper everything. The man was there to till the ground. That's the reason why man came, to be in control, to have dominion and stuff like that.
Yeah.
At the same time, the ground with its own seeds and the fruits from the trees, they were there to serve man to eat. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we're in harmony with what's surrounding us.
Mm.
Yeah, so we have come to the end of the show. And we're going to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I know Mr. Pink here didn't say that much, but it's okay because he's going to be speaking next week. Yeah.
Definitely.
I think I like the name Pinky than the blues one, the blue man.
The blues world, man.
You know? Yeah. So don't forget to join this show again next week because it's the Pinky's world. Yeah, so we're giving an opportunity right now to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it's interesting. It's interesting to know about these things. We learn so much from the history. We learn so much from the history that there are women who had army, you know, but it's obvious that there were queens at that time and all that.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. And I think we're also going to be dwelling more in terms of what the church now was doing at that time. You know, what can we learn as people, as members of the church, to understand how do we become different and where did they get it wrong? Because that doesn't assimilate what is in the Bible, the church that is in the Bible. Do you understand what I'm saying? And people seem to have that picture instead of the picture of the church in the Bible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you're from church, are you guys used to kill people? Like, serious, man? That's how you look at us. So right now, this moment, as I said, we're going to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So you can close your eyes and you're like, this is me. I want this God to help me, you know? And where I will change my environment, I will change myself. In fact, He will change me. He will make me be impactful around the environment that I am in, you know, and other people, whatever they do, will also work for me. So right now at this moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. So close your eyes, say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I accept you.
I accept you.
As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here.
I believe. With all my heart. I confess with my mouth. That you are the Son of God.
You are the Son of God.
You were raised. From the dead.
From the grave.
Taken to heaven.
And right now.
You are seated.
At the right hand.
Of the Father.
In Jesus' name.
I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, let's talk.
Yeah.
Like what you're listening to?
Follow us on Gab and Twitter at ActiveFM,
Instagram at ActiveFM777, and Facebook at /ActiveFM.